Hey there, just a quick reminder, we have a mentorship program if you're looking for personalized coaching and mentorship to help guide you to the next level of your interior design business, whatever that might look like for you, whether it's processes and procedures or what services to offer to how to incorporate wellness, intention, or spirituality into your projects. Come join us over at designcoven.com/join. Or if you're just in search to connect with other like-minded interior designers, you can join our free community, also located at designcoven.com/join. You're listening to the Holistic Interior Design Podcast. This is a podcast that guides you as a new or inspiring independent interior designer navigating your entrepreneurial path. Here, with my over 20 years experience, I will share my holistic approach to design with intention and ancient practices, including feng shui, all incorporating mind, body, and spirit into my design projects. You will also learn from seasoned interior designers as they give strategies and insight of how they built their businesses and continue to work in the field. Together, we will discover supportive trade partners, new ideas, creatives, and inspiring artists from around the world. I am your host, Rachel Lorraine Crawford. Alrighty, welcome back to the Holistic Interior Design Podcast. I'm super stoked. I've got Parker Heath on with us today. Welcome in.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Of course. This is super fun. I'm going to just create our space by lighting a candle. Get us into the present moment and just set the intention of connection with you and to our listeners. And then we're going to pull a card. Got our candle going. And then I'm pulling from the Cosmo Tarot deck. I don't know. Have you had cards pulled for you before or played with cards or?
No, I haven't. But I've been listening to the podcast a bunch, and
oh, sweet!
I love it. It's cool. So I'm excited to see what we get.
Let's see what we get. We got multiples here. Ooh, the Ten of Pentacles. This is prosperity, abundance, wealth. It's just like this overwhelming onslaught of money and abundance and all those beautiful things. So we definitely want that coming in.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah,
exactly.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I love it. So, yeah, and it's also, you know, that space of creation, it's pentacles, so it has to do with the earthly realm. So making things that we can touch and feel, and then also, you know, benefiting from all those things that we're creating.
That's so funny. I feel like that's, like, spot on with my current agenda this month and, like, the work that I'm representing and, even like not monetary value of, you know, prosperity, but like just opportunities to collab with other people and stuff. So I feel like that's very, very true of what's going on right now. That's cool.
That's rad. I love it. Okay. Well, can you give us a little bit of a background? Well, first, I always skip this part. First, what's home for you at the moment?
Man, I would say this is probably a boring answer, but home is literally home right now because I was just gone in LA for 8 days and I was traveling around with my family for a few days before, then doing a big art show in a convention center.
Oh my gosh.
For like five of the days. So I'm home now only for 2 days and then I'm leaving again and I'm going to be gone for 10 days for another show and visiting family. So right now I'm happy to actually be home and I'm happy that it's super sunny outside. But home in a creative space, I guess, is being literally in my studio and thinking of like the different forms of materials and things that I can use right now to make myself just feel welcomed and feel like I'm creating and making again. Because when you step in the world of professionalism with your art, I feel like it's easy to just wear the business hat all the time. So when I get in my studio and I'm just messing around and literally making a mess everywhere. Yeah. It feels good just to make and be playful again.
Nice.
So I really, really try to value that and remember that space as like home for me, like personally and emotionally.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I love that you're home now and then you're going to be off again. But those trips make you just really appreciate what your actual home, like just to be in your space, right? It's like,
oh yeah, absolutely. It's fun to be out and about and be in different environments and stuff, but you really, really value and appreciate, like, once you are home, seeing your friends and your family, just feeling like in a comfortable space, you know, like it's good to be out of your comfort zone, but it's nice to come back and reevaluate once you do all that stuff.
I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
Well, can you share a bit about your origin story into this world of design, how all this came to be? I'm sure you've got all kinds of things that have happened that led you here, and I'm super excited to hear about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love sharing my origin story because it's just happened so natural. I never thought I would be in this space at all. Mm. I guess to take it all the way back, because people always ask, like, how did you get into art? Have you been doing art your whole life? And I feel like most recently I really grasped the idea and realization of like how I got here and why I do all the different things that I do in my life. Mm-hmm. And it all started from, I've been a BMX rider for over 18 years. I'm proud to say that I'm currently still a professional rider with sponsors, and I get to travel around
the
world.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But it was my first sort of creative outlet. People think of it more as like a sport or like a subculture, but it really is more of like a way to creatively express yourself just through the medium of riding a bicycle and doing freestyle tricks, just like skateboarding, surfing, snowboarding. Same thing, different toys, I always say. So I started out BMX riding when I was really little, and pursuing sort of that life. You're always around cameras and you're around documenting your tricks and your riding styles, and you're not always riding in one place. So your creative expression starts to bleed off of the bike. And I got into photography, and I got into looking at, you know, my landscape around me in different ways. And it was only natural that I would really start to fall in love with videography, photography, using a camera. And so I got into that in high school and community college. I really started studying how to use, you know, all the Adobe stuff and just expressing myself and my ideas in new ways off of the bike. Well, I still ride my bike to this day. I was just like an addition of creativity. And then once I got into college and, you know, was exposing myself to these art classes, I started just experimenting and being really playful like I would on Photoshop or with my camera, but now in the garage with some random paints or playing with clay and stuff. And then I was like, why not just take like an art history class at school or take drawing 101, you know, and see what happens. And then from there, I was just hooked, and I just was fascinated with the art history side of things and understanding like why we look at art, how art serves in our life. Whether or not you're an artist or you are. And then from there, I just really fell in love with painting and sculpture and ceramics. So I decided to major in studio arts. And in that field, it was perfect for me because I didn't want to just do painting or just do sculpture or just do photography. I like, even when I'm riding my bike, I don't want to ride one specific sort of terrain or obstacle. I want to do everything because I love just at its core, like what it all means. So studio arts is a perfect way to set me up. And I was able to learn painting, drawing, ceramics, woodworking, jewelry making. And then I eventually started to pick one, and I fell in love with ceramics. And that's what I did primarily towards the end of my college career was ceramics. But I always painted along the way, and I studied art history. So that's kind of my academic career. And then The pandemic hit when I was about to finish college, and I was trying to think like, man, I'm about to finish college. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do with this art degree. It's been really fun,
right?
And I'm pursuing BMX still, and I'm pursuing these other things. And it just was like, oh man, this pandemic is really awkward right now. And like school and class was just really just not, I was kind of getting gypped of the whole experience.
Totally.
And, so I decided to take like a semester, two semesters off. And I was like, I'm just going to delay my thing, try to see if by the time I come back, the situation at school dealing with the pandemic would be easier. And in that time frame, I had a fellow classmate who kind of gave me a nudge of like, hey, like you should maybe just try to put your work out there and to see what happens. Like just start an Instagram page, see what happens, see what the response is. Because she was doing pop-ups and she was doing a little bit of like that commercial end of things of trying to sell her work, which is... You know, I think that's what everyone dreams of doing, but it takes a lot of courage. You know, I'm like, I don't know, like, I'm not even confident of like what I make. I like to do a little bit of this. I like to do a little bit of that. I'm like, I don't know. But that first step, that first nudge that she gave me is like the most important thing in all things that we do in our life. And like, if I didn't do that, like I really don't know what I would have done. Because stepping forward, when I went back to college, I still never really got that nudge. And I was like, dang, like I would have just been like, I don't know what to do with this art degree right now. That was my experience from the institution I went to with the professors I had. I never really got a huge amount, towards the end, I never really got a huge amount of support saying like, hey, try to go this route of like trying to sell your work. So in that time off, I started an Instagram page. I started an Etsy page. I started just like doing these things, throwing stuff to the wall, seeing what sticks, selling some of my functional ceramic pieces. And then it led me to just trying to come up with cool, clever ideas of how to present my work and make it more accessible. So I came up with this random wild hair idea of turning one of my paintings into a woven throw blanket, which I was like, this is so random. But I was like, oh, this could be really cool to like have in my room as a tapestry or maybe take to the beach. And like, I'm like, I don't know. I just want to see like what happens when it turns into a blanket. So I did some research and I found areas of where to make a jacquard woven blanket out of my painting. And once I got it in my hands, I was like, whoa, this is so cool. It's so cool to touch it and feel it. And like, it's big now and the colors are all muted and it's like, it's really imperfect. It's not exactly. And I was like, I love that. That whole process I just went through was so on par with what I was doing in ceramics of like just playing around, being intuitive with natural materials, and then the process of working with wet clay, and then once it fires and dries, how it like looks different. And there was something that was in your control but something out of your control. It was just fascinating to me. So I got the blanket and then I was just like, why not we just like post it online and see what happens? And then I'm lucky that immediately I got like 10 orders. I had no idea how to like do pricing structure or anything. I was only selling them for like a very small little profit because I was like, I didn't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. So that was the very beginning. And then I ended up getting COVID and I was sick for like a week. And while I was sick, I was like, why don't I design a second design? Just see what happens.
Yeah.
So I designed the second design and I get it made. And then that one is even more popular. I get like 10 to 15 orders like local friends and family, just word of mouth. And I'm like, damn, maybe like I'm kind of onto something here. Like this is really fun. Like I've never been a salesperson. I've never really been like into flip like side hobbies where you're flipping stuff or anything like that. Wow, this is like a cool little product. I got the bug. It was insane. And I was like, I got this cool little product that's like something that there's a little bit of demand for. But then also I'm like, I'm still happy with like the artistic process of it. So I was uncovering this like really hard thing to find where you have a product and you're sufficing sort of like this commerce side of things, but also you maintain the integrity as an artist. It's just so hard. Yeah. And I was like, dang, this is really cool. So I was like, all right, let's get a game plan. Let's like see how we can make this go even further. So I was walking around the local farmer's market in San Diego, the Little Italy one. And I was like, oh my God, like this is cool. It's like people's like Etsy listings like brought to life. It's like all trendy and like cool looking. You get to decorate it. You get to like talk with people. I was like, you get to like design your booth. And I was like, that's fun. I want to design my own booth. Yeah. So I was like, okay, my goal is to like really outfit what I was doing on Instagram and Etsy to kind of just like keep collecting that data and see what happens. And then my goal was to go to the farmer's market and try to apply and see like how it would be with actual strangers, like in person. Cause I was getting like a few stranger orders on Etsy here and there, but it was just getting started.
Okay.
And if you can't tell, this timeline is happening very, very fast.
This
is from January to making that second design, like a few weeks later to making an Etsy store. From January until the spoiler, I end up getting accepted into the farmer's market was in June. So within five or six months, I was just foot on the gas, like moving as fast as I can. But I'm just so lucky that it was like everything was kind of happening one after another. And I was like, it's just working. So just go follow it.
Yeah. And what year was this?
2021. So still in the pandemic. And I think that also worked in my favor too, because there was sort of a mindset shift for myself. I was actually injured from a BMX injury. I broke my foot and I was out for like 9 months. So in that time frame, I was kind of just like shifting, and I was forced to like show my energy and interests towards other things than riding my bike or going to school.
Yeah.
So I was like, I take a semester off. I'm kind of chilling. I'm not really doing anything. So why not just like see what happens? I can sell some mugs that I'm making on the side, right. sell these blankets that I figured out how to make, and try to make some other small little art pieces and just see what happens. And it just kept going. And literally to this day, like, it's, I can't believe it. Like, from starting all of that, that's where I'm at now. And I've just grown so, so fast. And I can't thank, like, the initial beginning people who gave me those nudges and kind of believed and supported buying those first blankets or mugs and stuff enough. Like, thank you guys so much. It's like crazy. It turned my life around. It's like, I never thought I'd become a blanket salesman or a professional artist now. It's pretty wild.
So then you never went back to school then?
No, I did. Okay. It was challenging. It was hard. So that summer, I went to the farmer's market, and still to this day, I think because, you know, the grand scheme of, like, the country where we're at and economics post-pandemic and stuff, things aren't the same. But that first summer, something was in the air, and, like, a lot of people were ready to go to the farmer's market and they wanted to buy cool, unique stuff. So I was just like, I was selling like crazy on the weekends at the farmer's market. Etsy was doing well and all of these things. I was like, okay, there's this big holiday craft market at the end of the year that I want to go to. That's my goal. But I'm like, that's also the semester, my final semester, I have to go back to school. So I was doing all this and I'm like, well, okay, this is my backup plan. Maybe, like, I go finish school and then, like, from now until then, like, we'll just see, like, what happens. And so I go back to school and I'm like, you know, if I don't figure out in this last semester of what I'm supposed to do with this art degree, I guess I'll just use this as a backup plan and then figure it out. Like I said, I wasn't thinking too much about it. I was like, just put on the gas, just keep going.
Just,
like,
go.
Kind of irresponsible, kind of ballsy, but I was like,
you gotta have that sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my BMX background really influenced me to do that. Just sometimes don't think about it too much. Be a little calculated, but, like, you got to just kind of go for it.
Wow.
So I went back to school that semester, and it was good. It was really challenging because I have a better understanding now that I've had some years off. But in the moment, I was so excited, and I thought people were going to be so proud and jumping for joy that I was doing this thing and that I was finding success commercially as an artist. There was a little bit of, like, a resist and a pushback, and I was just so frustrated, and I was just, like, kind of bummed, but I stuck it through, and I was like, you know what, like, I'm gonna finish off and really hone in on my craft. And, you know, when I go to school, I'm wearing the artist hat only, no business hat. But then after that, I'm like, I gotta wear business hat. And I didn't know that at the time, but now I know that, like, that is so important, of knowing when and where to wear which hat at which time. Sometimes you have to wear them at the post, but sometimes you gotta wear them in different points. So I went back and I ended up finishing school, and I ended up walking, getting my degree the following semester because the timing of it all. But yeah, and then I did that final craft show at the end of the year, and everything I just kept doing, I just would meet people and would just see these other things. I just continued to be inspired, and I just was like, I'm gonna just keep going and set up the next goal. Develop the brand this way, build more products, try to expand my portfolio, all these things. And it just hasn't stopped since. And I'm so, so lucky. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. And when we spoke last, you had mentioned going to High Point, and that was your first, was that your first High Point in October?
So, no. So I went last spring of 2023. I finished college, and then 2022, here we are. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm done with college. It's like everyone experiences this, whether you're an artist or not. You're like, done with college. What do I do?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shoot. I didn't really use the resources there like I should have. And now I'm in the wild. And I was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm going to, like, just try to keep my foot on the gas. Let's make this as legit as possible. Let's give it my best swing.
Yep.
So I registered, I made it like an official business, Parker Made LLC. I registered it. I set up a bank account. I did all the things. I did all the things to be like, okay, I'm going to go for it. And my goal for this year was to be like, okay, I have, like, this business, this commercial side of things where I'm making products. It's like a home decor lifestyle brand based on my original artwork. And I really want to kind of, like, you know, light the fire and put this thing in the blast off. So I made a goal for myself, was to go to a huge trade show in New York City that summer.
Okay.
So I would have 8 months leading up to that. And in those 8 months, I was going to do as much business and artist development as possible. And in those 8 months, if I didn't make that a goal, I don't know if I really would have been, you know, had the pressure on me to develop into what I am now and what I'm doing now. So in that time, I just learned so much about like building a brand and how important that is, and understanding marketing and, you know, developing products. And just, you know, I set it as a goal of like, okay, I want to step up to the big leagues. So I got to learn all these things.
Right.
And then from there, it's just been a crazy, crazy roller coaster. And I've actually had a huge shift since then.
Okay.
Once I went to New York now, which kind of leads me up to getting into High Point. But yeah, I could just keep going about my journey.
No, I love it. I think it's so fantastic. Crazy. And I think like just hearing this from you, I think a lot of designers can also relate, because there are designers that have been wanting to go off on their own, wanting to create their businesses. And I feel like they get stuck in the space of being in their comfort zone and not pushing out. And just hearing your story of like, well, I don't know, I'm just going for it. And you just like jump and you jump and you jump and you jump. And I think that is going to give them that spark, kind of like what you had in the very beginning of, let's just do it and like see what happens when you actually show up. Because that's another piece too, of that mindset of just doing it and not having those hesitancies.
Yeah. And I kind of, I reminded myself along the way too, when I was about to take a leap into something else, that like, you can keep a tab on like small things that you're really passionate or interested in. You don't need to feel this pressure of like, you're selling out to go this direction. Do it as like a learning experience and go this way, and like keep a tab on something, and then you'll be able to come back to it, you know? Cause like sometimes you got, I was like, I just got to set up this infrastructure and this foundation first for me to like eventually come back and do the things that I'm super passionate about. And I'm happy to say that like that's exactly what's happened, because what I'm doing now is honestly a little less of the business, product making, being a manufacturer, less Shark Tanky type stuff, and more back to being an artist and making original works and working on commissions and working with designers, collaborating with other creatives. Whereas in that first 2 years, I kind of had to give that up a little bit.
Totally.
But I knew, I was like, okay, I'm going to put in 2 years of doing more of just learning about business, learning about building a brand, and then I'll be able to come back. And it worked, and that's what I'm doing now. So I'm super stoked that strategy that I placed my bets on ended
it's
up working.
Yeah, it's just like, it's putting in the time, putting in the work up front so that you can succeed in the way that you want later on, right? So it's the same thing with like design. When I was just like in the trenches, like working retail weekends and nights, it's like, what am I doing? And like all that experience, all that is totally paying off.
Yeah. And you know, to this day, I still work at the Little Italy Farmers Market. I'm there on first and third Saturdays. And, you know, when I'm there, it's like, it's hard because you're like I'm not doing anything really creative. Like the products that I make and sell are all based on my original paintings, but they are reproductions of things. This is more of being a product manufacturer, and all you're doing is working on selling the things that you have. There's not a ton of creative, unless you're coming out with like a new product.
Right.
So when you're in that space, you're just kind of like, ah, man, like not doing exactly like what I really love. But I know it's a way for me to fund what I'm doing that I'm really passionate about. Mm-hmm. So it's just about balance. And I feel like a lot of people struggle with trying to succeed because it takes a lot of patience to do that. And just remember of like what your end goal is. And it's okay to like put in the work over here, make sure you find a way to make that work somewhat enjoyable and within your artistic integrity. And then you can on your off time, you can balance this, and then that might fund this. And it's just kind of a back and forth.
Totally. I love that balance that you've created. I wanted to dive into the piece that you love doing with commissions and working with designers and all. What does all of that look like for you right now that you're in this new space?
Yeah. So what I do now is I my bio says I'm sort of I call it interdisciplinary artist, because like I said, that background of studio arts, I was doing a bunch of different things, but now I've realized going through that crazy commercial hurdle and now coming back into being an artist, I've learned that I'm just a maker, and I love being exposing myself to different forms of product development, different forms of artistic development. And so I kind of merge these different media together and just kind of expose myself to a wide range of things and let my taste sort of influence what I'm going to make. So my primary background is in acrylic painting. But I did also ceramics in college. So now, and then now I started manufacturing these blankets. So it's like I have a mix of different media in a mix of different presentations of my work.
Mm-hmm.
But at the core, they kind of all like have the same thing and they kind of lean on one another. So my paintings have a very sculptural aspect to them. My sculpture has a very sort of painting aspect. Mm-hmm. They kind of are all being made to expose a little piece of one another.
Got it.
So my most popular commission works are what's called my framed wovens.
Okay.
So I take my jacquard woven blankets, like what you see behind me here. This is a color palette of my my jacquard weaving techniques. So I do an original painting, and then instead of just putting the painting on the wall, I wanted to find new ways to sort of allow the viewer to engage and interact with it differently. So now the painting is reconstructed and rewoven into an actual woven piece. There's no ink. It's not printed. No paint on it.
Oh my gosh.
It's actually like a new version of the painting, just that's subtly texturized and woven. And it's great because people love to come up to it and touch it and feel it and see the intricate little thread detail up close.
So cool.
It also has a great acoustical quality, which is something I wasn't planning, but when you put it on the wall, it absorbs sound really well, which is great for hospitality.
Yeah.
So I do those. And then my original paintings, the most popular pieces have been my heavy texture series, where I actually mix coffee grounds in with my acrylic paint. And on the surface, when it dries, you can see that it almost has like a concrete or like a stucco or like a dried clay sort of aesthetic. And those are great because they're really durable, which makes it fun for moving it around. I don't have to worry about it getting messed up. But they have a very heavy textural quality. So both the wovens and the heavy texture series are something that I make to engage the viewer to come up close, look at the intricate details, have the painting kind of come off of the surface a little bit, do something a little less traditional. And I encourage people to come up and touch it. I really want people to interact with it and engage. And, I think that makes it important to make your work accessible.
It's amazing. I love it.
Thanks.
So how do designers work with you if they want something to be like a commission piece or do you do that?
I love doing that. Right now I typically just try to share my portfolio of the wide range of things that I do.
Uh-huh.
And I just ask, collaboration is like my favorite part of this whole process. So I love to see like what designers are working on, what they're thinking of. And of course, I like to explain sort of the caps or the limitations that I have. Cause I mean, not everything is entirely possible, but I usually will create like a pitch deck. I'm not an expert at it by any means, but I use Procreate and I will kind of create a pitch deck of some designs or recreations of original works in whatever media that they're in.
Okay.
And that way we kind of go back and forth and we decide, you know, what works for you as a designer, what your client is thinking about, and if it aligns with what I'm doing too.
Yeah.
And we go for it.
That's so awesome. So are you painting something and then that's getting translated into a textile or?
So yeah, sometimes there'll be brand new paintings or I have a range of paintings that I already have and designs that
Got
I can
it.
Then kind of alter or recreate. And then from there, the translation process of how it appears into the woven piece is a completely different rendering than the actual painting itself. And that's the fun part. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Is there's these subtle imperfections and there's these subtle irregularities and limitations within the weaving process. But it kind of it allows the painting to breathe a new life into itself that is just, I've always been excited about it. And I'm stoked that from the shows that I've been doing, people have been catching on to it too. And it's awesome. I'm in love
so
with it.
Rad. Yeah. I'm just thinking of like just future, like hospitality clients, like being able to interact with you, give you, you know, a concept or an idea or an intention, and then see like how you interpret that and incorporate certain colors or, you know, all these things. And then having original art in another colorway that also is very acoustical. That was really huge because acoustics is everything, especially in hospitality. Just trying to find ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, from my farmer's market business background, I learned so much about like why does someone want this as a product? Like what value is it providing? And I feel like the great thing about the framed woven series is that it's merging the two sides of like a product and a fine art piece.
Yeah.
And the biggest takeaway from that is that it's just something that's a little less traditional. I mean, it's still a flat woven, but it has those subtle things that, like, when you put this piece in your client's projects, mm-hmm. it'll allow the consumers to come up closer, and it is more of a conversation piece because it has those subtle intricacies. It's something that they feel comfortable that they can touch. They're kind of pondering. They don't really understand yeah. what's going on. And I kind of like that. And I think that's so cool. Interesting. And that makes a design project that much more unique. And that's the feedback that I've been getting. So it's pretty rad.
That's super rad. Is there a particular project that you have done that you are just like in love with at the moment, or a favorite project that you've created?
Yeah. One that comes to mind that isn't actually a framed woven, but it's part of my heavy texture series. Yeah. Is I was able to collaborate with the Tappan Collective out of LA, and I did a commission for Sweet Green, restaurant chain,
yeah,
which is pretty cool. So that one was pretty amazing that we did it. We did a huge large scale piece, and it's in the Sweet Green restaurant up in Del Mar, Carmel Valley, across okay. from One Paseo. And, it's just awesome when you get to work with a client that is excited about certain design choices mm-hmm. that I'm super excited about. Yeah. So going back to, like, I'm excited about the woven stuff, and I'm excited about the heavy texture stuff because it's combining all of these things that I really love and is super historical to my journey as a professional artist. So when we did that project, it was really great, and the Sweet Green team was awesome. We did like a grand opening party,
so,
and
rad.
It was just like it was really fun. Besides that, there's so many cool projects. I have an exciting new project that's launching this week at High Point.
Oh my gosh, tell us about it. Can you share?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll actually be sharing it. I don't know when this will air, but it'll be on my Instagram and
cool.
my website. But I've kind of gone down the route of not only being a small business owner, a product maker and designer, but also a fine artist and selling my original works, but also now a licensee, which is another category that opens up.
Rad.
So I've been able to connect with all sorts of brands that are manufacturers of products, and they're licensing my designs to create artist collections.
Mm.
So I have a collection of wallpaper at the moment, but my newest, biggest collection that's coming out is a dream of mine that I've always been really, really excited to do. And I'm partnering with Creative Accents, who is a bespoke. Yeah, they are a bespoke handmade rug manufacturer out of here in California. And they make high-end luxury handmade rugs. Each one is one of a kind and made to order. And we are doing a curated collection that I am calling Parker's Modern Primitive. And it's a 5-piece collection that are all fully customizable from different sizes, materials, colors. And I got to go to the factory, and we got to do the whole process from start to beginning, where I'm drawing them out onto the giant back canvas, and then we have the tufters come in and we're tufting, and it's really, really amazing to see the attention to detail and the quality that Creative Accents puts into their work. And my favorite part is that they're a super family oriented business that's been around for over, I think, 50-60 years now.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just an incredible opportunity to see, like, one of my original paintings be blown up on a major scale, and now it's something you can touch and feel, and it can serve a whole new purpose now.
Yeah.
And it's really, really cool, and I'm honored to have the opportunity.
Oh my goodness, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
And then tell me about the wallpaper. I didn't know you had a wallpaper.
So I have actually two wallpaper collections. If you go on my website under the collections tab, you can see the different sort of collabs and collections I do with brands. One of them is with Wall Snobs, which is a trade-only wallpaper company based out of Dallas, Texas. And then the other one is a trade and consumer brand that does mostly peel and stick wallpaper called Ayara Home. They're based out of Salt Lake City, Utah. And that's been another great thing that I never thought, like, wow, wallpaper, I had no idea that was even, you know, something that my
wallpaper.
Art could do. And the different textures between grass cloth and linen and luster, it's really, really amazing. To see it go in a scale like that. So I have that.
That's
and
cool.
then if you go on my website too, I was lucky enough to also do a collaboration, which is also a dream collaboration, was with Vans Shoes. So I have a background in BMX.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I have a background in BMX riding, and one of my really close friends is a professional sponsored rider with the Vans team. and his name is Dennis Anderson, and he wanted to reach out to me to collaborate and use one of my designs on a signature collection of his shoes. So they used one of my best-selling blanket designs called Red Stripe. And it's kind of been like, that was that second design that I did in the pandemic. Sort of like really sparked interest for me. And it's become kind of like a poster child of my of Parker Made. So that is a design that's on the insole of the shoe that is sold in stores worldwide, which is pretty crazy to go
to a
Van store
right,
and walk in and grab the shoe and look inside. And yeah, it's so humbling. It's crazy. I can't believe he gave me that opportunity. So that's another huge one that I'm so thrilled about.
Wow.
A lot of irons in the fire. I know I'm really happy and grateful, and I'm just trying to just work as hard as I can and just keep my foot on the gas and just keep going. It's really good.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing it. It's incredible. And like I said, it's super inspirational for anyone listening. And how cool is it that we get to connect with you as designers? And that's the other neat thing is when we get to work with artists, we get to share your story with our clients. You know, this is Parker and this is what he does. And he's here in San Diego, and it just adds another layer. And then those clients
absolutely
will fall in love with all the things that you're doing and who you are as a person.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm always open to hearing other people's stories, and I'm always willing to share my story, because from the beginning I was feeling lost, and I felt like there was some backlash in, you know, the art world of people wanting to, you know, it's you're like a puppy dog. You don't know which direction to go. And it's our resources are so invaluable, and our fellow peers and art and design colleagues are so invaluable to hear information and experiences of like how we navigate through this. And the biggest thing for me was grasping the fact that not everyone's journey is linear. Like it's all over the place. And you can't compare yourself. Comparison is the thief of joy, right? You just compare yourself to other people's journeys and opportunities they have, but you just have to listen to everyone's stories and take it with a grain of salt and put it in. It helps you stay open-minded to hearing you know, what possibilities are out there. Like I listened to my friend Stephanie Bales interview on here. She's great. And Kelsey Brooks is someone who I really look up to as well. And it's like everyone's story and everyone's journey is different. We all make different work, and we're all, you know, going for the same thing. So I think it's really important to share your ideas and share your strategies with other people and be open-minded. And that's what I'm happy to do.
Amazing. Well, I just love that you're here and you're doing all this. And thank you for sharing your story and all the things that are coming up. You're leaving next week or in a couple of days?
I'm leaving in a couple of days, and I'm going to be in High Point, spring market. I'm going out there just to kind of be in the mix with the whole art and design field. But primarily for the launch with Creative Accents of my collection, Modern Primitive. They show at a specific showroom that's been around for decades. It's called Thayer Coggan.
Okay.
Thayer Coggan has a history with sort of the mid-century modern movement. From my research that I've done, Milo Bothman was a contemporary of Charles of Eames, and Thayer Coggan and Milo Bothman were partners for years. So they sell a lot of the mid-century modern furniture, and they display a lot of works and designers who are kind of in that realm. And I'm going to be showing there, which is going to be really, really exciting. In case anyone is going to High Point, I also had an opportunity to join a panel of speakers at the Hall of Fame in High Point with other Gen Z designers. We're doing a panel speaking about Gen Z design and the trends that are happening and sort of the whole zeitgeist of Gen Z design and where the market's going and how we all do our practice. And that's another one that's like just incredible, because I went to High Point last year.
Yeah.
And I just went as a spectator just to go check it out, make connections, just meet people. And I went to this panel and I sat in the audience and sat there watching this huge panel at the Hall of Fame. And I was like, this is so cool. And now I'm being invited back as a speaker. It's like, geez, it's crazy. I'm so grateful. It's incredible.
Oh, I love it. We get to like be with you as you're doing all of this. So you have to keep me posted on what comes of it, because I'm sure you're going to make 1,000 more connections while you're there, and more things are going to happen, and there's going to be so many more opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I loved going to High Point last year. It's just going around meeting people, just exposing yourself to seeing what's out there for your artistic practice and for your business practice. I feel like just time on the saddle and going out there, seeing what what's happening, and then you can make more independent choices of how you're going to steer your business and artist practice.
Totally.
And I felt like going to High Point last year was huge. So incredibly pivotal for me at that point, because I just got to see what was out there. And it's humbling to think of like how your ideas sort of fit into what's already going on. And if you don't know what's out there, it's you're going to end up, I think, making a lot of wrong turns or maybe mistakes that you're going to learn from later. So I think just getting out there, exposing yourself, going to listening to podcasts like this with other artists and designers, and going to art fairs, going to showrooms, going to shows, like trying to expose yourself as much as possible to make informed decisions.
Exactly. I love that. Such great advice. How can people find you? How can we work with you and connect with you?
The best place is probably to follow me on Instagram. I'm at Parker Made. My personal Instagram, where you can see my BMX and other life, is just is my name, at Parker Heath. But on Parker Made, I'm always updating my newest works that I'm doing, collaborations that are coming out, the shows I'm at. And then from there, you can see my website, which is parkermadeshop.com. Where else can you find me? I'm still at the farmer's market on first and third Saturdays, Little Italy. I'm up by the dog park on Dayton Union. So you can see me there. You can see my blankets. You can see my socks that I make, my tote bags.
That's amazing.
All kinds of fun stuff.
I love it so much. And last question is, what are you doing to stay grounded with all these things that you've got going on?
Probably just remembering to take time to go out and just play. Just go be playful, go in my studio, go expose myself to things that are not pertaining to the short-term and long-term goals that I have within myself and my business. I think that's really, really important to just remember to like put it on pause and keep doing the thing that like got you there in the first place, which was being an artist, playing around, experimenting, not getting caught up in any of these sort of like unspoken rules or opinions about how you're supposed to do things. Because I think like you're going to really engage self-discovery amongst doing those practices. Another one too that's really obvious too is just exercising. I feel like it's totally unrelated, but
making
time to go exercise, your brain, the blood is flowing, your brain is so much more sharp, and you're able to be much more creative in the art or the business side of things. So making time for both of those is how I stay grounded and I don't lose my head.
Amazing. Well, you have so much wisdom, like way beyond your years. This is so fantastic. I'm so glad that you're just out there doing it, because like I said, that's huge, and you're doing rad stuff, and I'm so excited to have met you.
Thank you. Likewise. I know. I'm glad we met, and I'm a huge fan of the show and the work that you're doing too. It's really awesome to follow along, and I'm super stoked to be a part of this. This is like a dream to like, I've been listening to podcasts like ad nauseum. Every time I get in the car, I listen to podcasts.
Oh my gosh, so I know, I'm addicted.
For me to be on one and share my ideas and my experiences, it's a huge honor. So thank you.
Amazing. Of course.
You've been listening to the Holistic Interior Design Podcast. If it's one that you have been enjoying, please share with anyone else that you think can benefit from this knowledge, and leave us a 5-star review. That helps us get seen and found by other new and aspiring interior designers. And if you're looking for mentorship, I invite you to join our club here at the Design Coven. It's a bridge between school and real life interior design. We get in much deeper there. We have virtual and in-person events, so everyone is welcome. You don't need to have a design degree to be part of it, just an interest in holistic interior design. I also want to thank our editor, Marcy Ferry, and lastly, Kinseth Thibodeau, who is our music composer. Until next time, be well, and we will see each other soon.